The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Now this is how the birth of Jesus came about. When his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, a just man unwilling to expose her to the law, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention, when suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream and said to him, Joseph, son of David, have no fear about taking Mary as your wife. It is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived this child. She is to have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All of this happened to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin shall be with child and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, a name which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had directed him and received her into his home as his wife. He had no relations with her at any time before she bore a son, whom he named Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. 10 days ago, our new Holy Father, Pope Francis, gave a lengthy interview with an Italian journalist named Andrea Tornielli. Tornielli began the interview asking him several questions about the meaning of Christmas. Pope Francis said that Christmas is first and foremost about the encounter with Jesus. God, he said, has always sought out his people, led them, looked after them, promised to be always close to them. How beautiful this is. Christmas is God's meeting with his people. We see this loving encounter prophesied in all its richness in the first reading of tonight's Vigil Mass, when Isaiah foretells that we will no longer be forsaken, desolate, or abandoned, but that God out of love will come not just to meet and accompany us, but to marry us. As a young man marries a virgin, your Maker will marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. The Lord has come. Christmas is about. The Lord's wanting to enter into a covenant of life and love with us. I love to prepare couples for marriage. When I do, I always give them 12 essays to write. One of the essays is, How Did the Proposal Happen? Because in that answer, I learn a ton about the future groom, and oftentimes I learn details about how their relationship works. And I've been presently surprised over the couple hundred of marriages I've celebrated over the last 14 years, that about 10% of the proposals happen on Christmas Eve, or at the midnight mass, or on Christmas Day. 10% out of all 365 days of the year, a sizable minority happen on this day. Perhaps there's a young engaged couple here tonight where that might happen. Who knows? But why does it happen on Christmas? And I always ask, And they've told me in response that they recognized that that was a day on which it wasn't fitting just to give a beautiful piece of jewelry to a woman who's loved, but to give the gift of oneself that's symbolized by that ring, to give a total self-mastered gift to another, hoping to receive in response a gift far greater than anything that could be wrapped. In a much more profound way, Christmas is the day on which God Himself asks us to marry Him, hoping that we will say yes in response and enter into a life of mutually committed love that will last not just as long as we both shall live, but that shall last forever. God's not asking us on Christmas if we want to go out on a date with Him on December 24th. Or if we want to just accompany Him out for a good time a few times a year, or even once a week. He's asking us to enter into a lifelong covenant of love and life with Him. Christmas is the day on which God gives Himself totally to us as a gift in hopes that we will respond by giving of ourselves entirely to Him. Sometimes, however, just like young people afraid of making definitive commitments, we can hesitate to give our response to God. We might think we're unworthy of His love and attention. We might fear, even like Mary at the Annunciation or Saint Joseph in tonight's Gospel, that what God is asking of us might be more than we can handle. But Pope Francis, in the interview, tries to assure us not to be afraid. He tells us God never gives someone a gift that that person's not capable of receiving. If He gives us the gift of Christmas, Pope Francis said, it's because we have the ability to understand and receive it. All of us do. From the holiest of saints to the greatest of sinners, from the purest to the most corrupt among us, even the corrupt person has this ability. The ability's a little impoverished, it's probably a little bit rusty, but he still has it, the Pope tells us. At the same time, Pope Francis calls us to spiritual maturity in response to the Lord's great proposal. Just like a young woman who has received a marriage offering, we must use our freedom to say yes or no to that gift, or if we have to ask for a little bit more time. But what's unworthy of us is to ignore it. Pope Francis says Christmas is a call from God who gives us this gift. We've got a vocation at Christmas to respond to what the Lord is giving. We must examine whether we really appreciate that gift. Do we want, the Pope finishes, to receive Him, or do we prefer other gifts? Is our treasure someplace else other than what God is giving? If we need more time, Pope Francis says God is patient, and like a man truly in love with a woman, never tires of waiting for us. At the same time, however, he wants us to recognize what gift he's giving and what gift he has made us to give him in return. The Christian life is like a marital union with the Lord. We'll never find a more loving bridegroom than Jesus, a greater provider, a better protector, a more joyful companion. But he's hoping and wanting that we respond with that same fidelity, commitment, self-giving, and passion. If we say yes and entrust ourselves in love to God, in this covenant of love, then we have a chance to experience the full meaning and joy of Christmas. And what's that? It's not just that God's come to us to encounter us in this world. It's not just that He wants to enter into a lifelong covenant of love. But through that covenant, He wants to make us divine. He wants to make us truly His divine likeness. In the preface to the Eucharistic prayer we'll chant in a few minutes, It points to what the early saints of the church called the most unbelievable thing about Christmas. They called it the admirabile commercium, the miraculous exchange, the unable to believe swap between God and us. Listen to what we'll chant. Through Christ we'll pray to the Father. The holy exchange that restores our life has today shone forth in splendor. When our frailty is assumed by your word, not only does our human mortality receive unending honor, but by this wondrous union, we too are made eternal. As Christ receives our humanity, he makes it possible in this covenant of love for us to become sharers in his divinity. He makes us capable of becoming other Christs. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a prince hunting down Cinderella with a shoe. This is true. This is the unbelievable gift, the gospel, that we celebrate on Christmas. God, as Pope Francis reminds us, never gives someone a gift that that person is not capable of receiving. Each of us is capable of receiving this gift. Each of us is able to respond and commit. But we need to receive the gift and not prefer other ones. The fundamental gift of Christmas is not a one-time gift certificate to a good restaurant, but it's an invitation to a weekly and even daily banquet in which Jesus, out of love, gives himself to us as our food. It's not a one-day pass to a spa, but a lifetime membership to a spiritual health club in which Jesus constantly wants to make us firmer and fitter in faith. It's not an all-expenses-paid vacation cruise, but a much more rewarding vocational adventure with all expenses paid by Jesus on the cross. Each of us is capable of receiving these gifts, but to do so we need God's help. At the very end of Mass today, we're going to ask God to bless us in three ways to assist us to respond to the great gift of Jesus this Christmas and come thereby to experience in this life and forever the fullness of this wonderful covenantal exchange. In the first blessing that I'll chant at the end of Mass, the priest says, "May the God of infinite goodness, who by the incarnation, the taking on of our humanity of his Son, has driven darkness from the world and by that glorious birth has illumined this most holy night, may he drive from you the darkness of vice and illumine your hearts with the light of virtue." In order to receive the Lord's gift, we need God's help to free us from selfishness, egoism, and placing our treasure more in other goods or things than in God. At Christmas, as Isaiah tells us in the first reading, God's people's victory shines forth like the dawn and victory like a burning torch. God wants to give us that triumph of virtue so that we may be able to respond to him fully. That's why John the Baptist throughout Advent helped us to make straight the way of the Lord, to free us from self-absorption, to give us self-mastery, so that we can give ourselves totally in response to the Lord's incredible proposal. We can't say yes to the Lord if we're saying no to him in sin. And that's the first of the three blessings God wants to give us in hell, so that we can say yes. In the second blessing, the priest prays, "May God, who willed that the great joy of his Son's saving birth be announced to the shepherds by the angels, fill your minds with the gladness he gives and make you heralds of his gospel." God wants to fill you and me today with the good news of great joy that filled the shepherds on Christmas night, and to make us new angels announcing to others the same joy. I want you to hear that phrase again. God wants to fill you with the good news of great joy. He just doesn't want you to give. He doesn't want to give us a little taste of it. He wants to fill us to the brim with this good news of great joy and fill us so much that we start overflowing and sharing that joy with others. And when we really encounter Jesus Christ, we can't help but start to share love of Him with those we love, because that is the greatest gift we could ever give to somebody else, the gift of the Lord. The responsorial psalm we sang tonight was, "Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord." The Lord wants to bless us with His help so that we may sing of His love and help our family members and friends fall in love with Him too. That's the second way the Lord wants to bless us and help us. And in the final blessing, we pray, "And may God, who by the incarnation brought together the earthly and the heavenly realm, fill you with the gift of His peace and favor, and make you sharers with the church in heaven." We're asking God to strengthen us never to forget this wondrous exchange between our humanity and His divinity in Jesus. In that same wondrous exchange that happens within anyone who responds to Jesus' marriage proposal and unites him or herself with the Lord in this covenant. That's the path to true peace announced by the angels, because true peace comes from a union with God, no matter what other external circumstances we're confronting. It's also the path to make us sharers forever in the church of heaven. Throughout Advent, we've had these beautiful new banners in our church for the Advent and Christmas season. And here, you see Jesus on His beautiful Mother Mary's lap. And what's Jesus doing? He's there in an act of perpetual blessing. Jesus wishes to bless us on Christmas. He wishes to bless us with virtue, with overflowing joy, with peace, and with a little piece of heaven. And He never gives us a gift we're incapable of receiving. Today He gives us the gift of Himself together with His help to receive Him fully and enter into this marriage of fruitful, faithful, indissoluble spousal love that is the Christian life. That is the vocation of Christmas. In the greatest way we enter into and renew that loving covenant is here at Mass. This is where we encounter the same Jesus that the shepherds and magi met in Bethlehem. This is where He seeks to bring about that miraculous exchange of divinity and humanity. Here, Jesus is not placed in a manger fit for animals, but makes us His manger so that He Himself might abide within us. This is where He's wrapped not in swaddling clothes, but becomes wrapped in our flesh and our whole life. This is where the wedding He came from heaven to earth to inaugurate is consummated. O come, all ye faithful. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us love Him. O come, let us receive this gift and giver with a capital G and enter into that wondrous exchange by which He seeks to bring us to that place where Mary and Joseph and all the angels and the saints forever sing, "Glory to God in the highest." Merry Christmas.